CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Moscow looking at the capital of Kazakhstan, Nur Sultan. Moscow looking at the capital of Ukraine, Kiev. What does Moscow see? Opportunity, challenge, frozen conflict? Paul Gregory joins me from the Hoover Institution. Paul has written very carefully about the Ukraine crisis for many years, and now it's joined by what appears to be a sudden eruption of what the Kremlin is calling a color revolution, what Nur Sultan, the President Tokayev, is calling a coup d'etat attempt, what all of us are puzzled about, because this is a very large state that was not in the story of the Russian Federation moving aggressively against its borderlands. Paul, a very good evening to you. It's fog of diplomacy in Kazakhstan. What we have is the statements of the principals, Mr. Putin, Mr. Tokayev. We do not have anything from what is said to be a color revolution, whoever leads that. Was this a surprise to you, Paul, that another part of the old Soviet Empire borderland suddenly plunges into turmoil? Good evening to you, Paul.
Good evening, John. Kazakhstan has had the reputation for being relatively stable under Mr. Nazarbayev, who so-called retired, but he retired with a lifetime appointment as head of the National Security Council. The color revolution has supposedly broken out, and Nazarbayev is on the wrong side of the current president, whom he appointed, was indeed a surprise.
Moscow responded very quickly, sending in military forces. I note that there was a report that the commanding general of the Russian special forces arriving in large airplanes in Nur Sultan and Almaty was the same leading general who led the Little Green Men in Crimea. So it looks like Russia, at least if this report is credible, has a quick reaction force. Is this to Moscow's advantage to have to be invited, if they were, into Nur Sultan?
I think this is the notable feature, that this is the first time, at least I know of, in which Russian troops have truly been invited. One thing for sure, if you have a color revolution going on against you, the most ready ally you will have will be Mr. Putin, who worries constantly about color revolutions and is still exercised about the color revolution in Kiev.
Paul, we go immediately to Ukraine because fog of diplomacy falls across us in Kazakhstan. In Ukraine, the diplomats are speaking in the open. The conversation in Geneva, we're told, came to two impassable positions. The Russians demanding of NATO, the U.S. saying, we will not rule out, we will not close the door. It now moves on to Brussels and a meeting with NATO between Ryabkov, the deputy foreign minister, I believe, and representatives of the United States. Is this a compromise-seeking body, NATO? Is it possible that they can come up with a solution that has escaped everyone else for 8 years?
There is no solution in my book. I did welcome some relatively tough talk from the U.S. delegation, and the tough talk was to say the U.S. is not going to decide Ukraine without Ukraine. The U.S. is not going to decide NATO without NATO. This was Europe's and Ukraine's major fear, that Biden would get on the telephone and give something away. So that was the thing I welcomed most out of Geneva. But in my view, there is no solution. That doesn't mean we can't talk. And the reason there is no solution is that one could not count on Putin to fulfill the terms of any solution. So what do we do? I mean, we could reach an agreement that that Ukraine is Finlandized, but I know exactly that Putin would not be content with a Finlandization of Ukraine. He would go after Ukraine itself, destabilize it, and take it over. So How can you negotiate when you understand that your partner will not abide by any resolution?
The White House appears to be grim about this, Paul. We're told from the London reporting of the New York reporting that the Biden administration has sought a team of meteorologists to explain the present weather in and around Ukraine and Crimea, which is said to be unusually warm, leading to mud building up and not the frozen ground that is said to be favorable to the armor. It appears that the White House takes quite seriously Putin's threat to invade. Do you believe that he's going to use his armor to roll over Ukraine?
I've been thinking this over as carefully as I can and reading what others are saying. I think that he will not invade. The reason is that this will be considered by Europe and the United States and others as finally going too far. You know, imagine what he has done so far with Crimea, with eastern Ukraine, with Syria, with Minsk, et cetera, et cetera. The question is, when will we really say this time you've gone too far? And I think the invasion means that he's going too far.
Paul, does this remake the map of Europe again? Is Putin's aggression in Ukraine now the beginning of reorganizing everybody's understanding of what safety is with the Russian bear to the east? Or can we go back to whatever existed before the pandemic?
That's a very tough question. I think one should look at Belarus. Belarus is no longer the Belarus it was, let's say, a year ago. I mean, if you look at the running of Belarus, it's actually being run by Russian experts. So Belarus, which used to strive for a minimal amount of independence from Russia, has lost that. I think with this, with Russian troops in Kazakhstan and the lure of Kazakhstan resources, perhaps we've seen the end of this relatively stable Central Asian state. So I think the map has already been redrawn. How Ukraine could ever return eastern Ukraine or Donbass to some condition of normality, I don't know. So the answer is the map is already redrawn.
You've been writing about this for years, Paul. Are you surprised that it comes to this violence, or was it always inherent in your warnings that it's going to get worse?
It's hard to go back and imagine what I thought on a certain date. I always felt that the actual invasion of Ukraine would not take place. There was a mini invasion back in August of 2014 when regular Russian troops came in and really demolished the Ukrainian army. So there's already been this violence. I don't think Putin will risk it. So that's my bottom line on this.
Will not risk it. And so he prefers the frozen conflict that we have now, the talk, but no war. Is that correct?
Well, the frozen conflict is very much in his interest, because how can Ukraine hope to develop and become a modern democracy with no border to the east? So he's perfectly content with this status quo. So he's in the catbird seat.
Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.